Welcome back to that 590 show. Matt Berger and Matt Rocchio alongside John Giamatti Rudolph behind the dials. It was right around a year ago that I was having a real tough time finding the right car at the right price. I did a hard target search of every gas station, residence, warehouse, farmhouse, hen house, outhouse, and doghouse in a 15-mile radius. Thankfully, my long and arduous search led me to Ryan Kimner and his great sales staff at Belmont Automotive in Troy, Missouri. Everything from the quality to the price to the service exceeded my expectations, and I know that they can do the same for you. Belmont Automotive not only has a wide inventory of new and used vehicles, but also has a top-notch service department and financing for everyone. You really can't go wrong at Belmont Automotive, 175 Turnbell Trail in Troy, Missouri. Give them a call at 636-462-3600, BelmontCDJR.com. We are guest-free until the top of the hour, so get in where you fit in, playa. 855-282-8255. The text line also available at 855-282-8255. What's that?
Do less.
Do less?
Do less. Just a little bit less.
What should I leave off? The playa?
Nothing wrong with getting where you fit in.
Just leave off the playa. What if I said Playboy?
Just do less.
Get in where you fit in, Playboy.
Do less. That's all I have for you.
Too old to be saying that?
Yeah. Just a little bit.
I don't look 40, though.
That's no.
It doesn't matter.
I can't even pull off same playa.
You can't even.
No.
Why not?
Because I might be 25, but I'm not 20. I'm not 25 in 1997. So swing and a miss on that one, champ.
You can't say playa anymore.
No, it's not. That doesn't work.
Can we have Joe come in and do a ruling?
I think he might rule with me on this one.
Let's find out. Go grab Joe. See if we can get Joe to give us a ruling here. We're gonna get a ruling on whether or not I can say playa. Joe, we need for you to do a ruling here. We need an official ruling. As someone who's young and hip, we need an official ruling. Okay, so I gave out the number, and I said, get in where you fit in, playa. And then he told me, no, I can't
I told him to do less. I told him, get in where you fit in, fine. But to not go with the playa.
You can't force it.
I can't say playa.
And then he said it was.
I mean, you got to say it, but it sounds like you're forcing it.
I got you.
He asked if it was because of his age. I said, no, I'm 25, but it's not 1997, so I can't pull it off.
It's like playa. Just playa.
I got you.
You got to be a little more smooth with it.
I think Joe was saying, I'm too white.
I don't want to go there.
That 2 second pause was all we needed, friend.
That pregnant pause is everything I needed.
That's what we like to call saying it without having to say it.
Thank you for your ruling, Joe. We appreciate it.
He'll be running the board there for Charlie Tuna.
Yeah, you can hear Joe at the Charlie Tuna Show from 8 to 10.
doing a wonderful job.
Coming up here in about 20 minutes.
I knew that wasn't going to go well for you. I don't know why you decided to do that to yourself.
Well, I will never say that ever again. How about that?
Well, I mean, again, like Joe said, just, you know, you got to pick and choose your spots. That's all we're saying. Kind of like Lonzo Ball with his shooting.
There you go. Well, like, look at that. That is a very smooth transition. I was going to try to talk about the Cowboys real quick, but we'll talk about Lonzo Ball. He has been the best thing about the summer league. At least he's been the biggest star.
Except when the ball's in the air.
What's that?
Except when the ball's in the air.
What do you mean?
His shot is just...
He's got an ugly shot.
Oof. It's not just ugly. It's not falling. I don't care if it's ugly. I mean, it's not falling. He's literally shooting 33. He's literally shooting 36% from the entire field.
Well,
right now.
He wasn't that great of a shooter at UCLA.
He was a 55% shooter from the floor at UCLA. A 42% shooter from behind the arc. He was an incredibly efficient scorer at UCLA. He was the definition of efficient.
They got
at UCLA.
Him. I mean, the Lakers got him to be a playmaker, though, not to be a scorer. Yeah, like to make the passes.
It doesn't matter. You can't be a playmaker if you can't shoot the ball or score off the dribble. You cannot be a playmaker in the NBA because they will if you can't shoot a dribble, they'll sit off you into the lane, not scared of your first step, not scared of your shot. Therefore, guys are sitting back in the paint for you, waiting for you to try to shoot layups. That's never going to work, which is exactly what's happened when they haven't been in the fast break. I mean, he's amazing in the fast break, but he has been disappointing in the half court because his dribble isn't quick right now and his shot isn't working. So he's been disappointing in the half court. So it does matter if you can't shoot. I don't care if you want to be a distributor. You can't be a distributor if you can't one shoot or two be extremely fast.
So basically right
he's
now
not he's extremely fast.
So right now he's basically kind of like a younger version of Rajon Rondo.
Well, I mean, I was going to go more as a Ricky Rubio because Rajon
he's often compared to Jason Kidd.
I think it's Rubio right now. I like a little bit better because Rajon from the get go was quick enough to beat you off the first step. When he was with the Celtics, he could get to the rim with authority. It wasn't to the level that Derrick Rose was doing it back then, but Rajon Rondo could get to the rack pretty consistently with his quick first step. The problem is that Lonzo isn't quick for a point guard. He's 6'6". He's long for a point guard. So he's got to be able to shoot over people and maybe do some stuff where he uses his size inside the paint. But right now, with his release point, even on some layups, kind of low, that's not working. And so his first step isn't good enough to get him to the rim. He's got to find another way to score by using his size against smaller guards. That's why I think he's like Ricky right now, where in that Ricky was a great passer, but Ricky for a while there, really until the last 2 years, until he started making his jumper a little bit more consistent, Ricky's passing was held back in the half court because teams clogged the lane against him. Now, I don't care what it was, since the day he got in the NBA, Ricky Rubio was a magician in the fast break. And that's right now where Lonzo
and that's
incredible.
Why they got him.
Yeah, that's why they got him. So I think, yeah, and I wasn't I'll be honest, I wasn't watching the NBA when, you know, Jason Kidd was just still Ason Kidd. I wasn't watching him. I wasn't watching the NBA back then. So I don't know
well,
what
I mean. He,
I
never,
know what,
he was almost Ason Kidd his entire career.
He was. He got the jumper going a little bit to make him a passable player with the Nets, better than it was when he came out of the draft. But I'm just saying is that's my comparison right now is Rubio, because really up until these last 2 years, the only years that Rubio became, you know, a 3-point shooter around like 35-36%, where you can be, you know, even passable in the NBA and get away with shooting more than one a game. And so that's my issue with Lonzo right now. It's just that his shot is not falling. And I don't care how janky it is, as Sean Marion proved us, just get the fall.
What do you make of him wearing, you know, Kobe's one day.
Could not care less.
Adidas the next, and then Under Armour. And he says that he is trying to create a bidding war.
Yeah, his dad says he's trying to create a bidding war. Other people are wondering, maybe the shoes just aren't that high quality. And so if you put them through 48 minutes of an NBA-style game, they're not exactly the best shoes to come back to 3 days later.
Stunning.
That's another thought process. Again,
and here's what the funny
that's
thing
where
is.
You can kind of lose people on. Yeah. But I think the shoe thing is pointless. People are just trying to make
okay. Well, here's what the funny thing is that
it. I'm becoming
Lonzo Ball. Let's say he signs a deal with Nike, and let's say it's a 100 or like 100 or $120 million shoe deal that everybody's going to be like, LeVar Ball, look at him, he's a genius. It's like, no, Lonzo Ball probably could have gotten that shoe deal without him.
I think I like LeVar Ball more than I did a month ago, and I'm not exactly sure why.
You like LeVar Ball now more than you did a month
yes.
ago. Why is that?
I don't know. The only parts about LeVar Ball I don't like are the Michael Jordan comment and now the Shaq comment.
Yeah, did you see what Shaq said?
He goes, he'll glue that goofy blonde wig to his head if he beats him.
I love Shaq.
Now, those are the two things where I'm like, LeVar, come on now. I'll say it to LeVar, stay in your lane. But other than that, man, there's right now so very few things I do not like about LeVar. Did you see the little preview they're putting together? I can't remember who tweeted it. I think Albert Breer tweeted it out. Kind of how people already kind of have like the first kind of 10 minutes of the Ball documentary pretty much written
the
and
Facebook
produced.
One?
Yeah, you saw that one?
No. I heard that he's going to have a reality show that's going to be on Facebook.
But yeah, you know, the people are talking about how you could pretty much already make a documentary over kind of like, you know, because you have lines from LeVar when he was, you know, when Lonzo was like 7 years old talking about he'll be one of the best players ever. You know, he's going to be the next coming to Magic when he gets to the NBA, and this is when Lonzo's like 7. And to hear him talk about that way, it's just kind of cool, and you got to respect it a little bit and then of course he says stupid things like, what if he doesn't go to the Lakers? He's like, I'm going to speak it into existence. It's like they also have a huge hole at point guard and they happen to have the second overall pick, and
yeah,
kind of worked out perfectly.
He's from LA, he went to UCLA,
but nonetheless, I don't like it.
I don't think anybody was surprised by that.
I think I'm becoming kind of a LeVar Ball fan. I'm not a huge fan of his shoes, and
I'm not a fan
again,
of him.
Stop challenging the greats, but I'm kind of liking it.
I find him less annoying.
Yeah, right.
I'm not a fan. I'm not going to go like you and be a full blown fan.
Yeah, I will
but
not
I do
watch,
find him less annoying.
I will not watch the reality show.
Oh, I have no interest in
but
that.
But I'm a sucker for documentaries, especially documentaries that happen to do with Southern California, as a confirmed by the fact that I cannot get enough of the Defiant Ones on HBO right now.
I've heard that's amazing.
Everyone's having a big HBO day just talking about Game of Thrones from yesterday. But what I did after I watched Game of Thrones, instead of rewatching Game of Thrones, was I sat down and watched parts 2 and 3. I'm going to watch part 4 when I get home, of the Defiant Ones. This is incredible. If you don't know about it, it's a documentary HBO just dropped. Four parts. Each one's about an hour and a half. And it's about Jimmy Iovine.
Interscope Records.
And Dr. Dre, Interscope Records, and everything. I mean, it takes you through everything. It takes you from Jimmy Iovine being a board man completely on accident for John Lennon to all the way through the fact that Iovine and Dre were the hands behind Lady Gaga and Gwen Stefani and all that. And you find out that essentially that on that Interscope had their had rap on one side and rock on one side. And on one side, Dr. Dre was controlling all the rap artists. And on the other side, I'm blanking on the name again.
Trent Reznor.
Trent Reznor from Nine Inch Nails was controlling like the rock side, where Reznor signed Manson while Dre was signing Eminem and things like that. Really just an incredibly cool story about the business. They talk about the business as a whole. Like I started four, and in part four, like the very beginning, is they're going through and talking about how Napster and everything changed the game, and essentially leads to how essentially Jimmy Iovine and Dr. Dre went from saying the record business is done to creating beats.
Yeah.
It's kind of how those ones are connected and everything like that. Really cool documentary.
Oh,
my God. It's so interesting. And just hearing just the inside look at things, not only just from like the big names like Ice Cube and stuff like that, but, I mean, Reznor and Gwen Stefani are two of the biggest talkers in some of the parts of this thing, talking about the genius of Iovine and Dre as producers and engineers and things like that. It's absolutely incredible. If you have HBO Go or you have somebody who can pass you on the password, give it a watch. It's blowing my mind. It's some of the coolest stuff. And as somebody who, going into this, probably could have told you a little bit more about Dre and Interscope than the average person, I am learning so much cool stuff.
I do want to see it because, I mean, like, I do find any kind of music documentary will suck me in.
Oh, my God.
Every single time. Whether or not I'm a big fan of the band or not. I watched a documentary about Genesis, for God's sakes, and those guys all liked each other, as opposed to the Eagles, where it was just Don Henley and the late Glenn Frey talking bleep about each other for like 3 hours.
Really?
Yeah, it's pretty much what it was. Yeah, they were both kind of like subtle jabs at each other. But no, I do plan to watch that documentary because I absolutely love documentaries.
The coolest part that I didn't realize is that '95 at the Source Awards, essentially, Snoop Dogg stops a bloodbath from happening by just getting by getting up there after because like Suge Knight pops off and makes fun of Puff Daddy, which, you know, if you're New York and it's 1995, you don't make fun of Puff Daddy in New York because you're gonna get yourself killed.
Pretty
so he
much.
Pops off, makes fun of Puff Daddy in front of the entire Source Awards, and then right after this happens, they have to give another award. And this is just after Suge's up there. They have to get another award to Death Row and Dr. Dre and Snoop. And Snoop's up there, and they're booing them hardcore. And then all the people in the background are talking like, there's a very good chance he's like every single big name in rap was there. He goes, there's a good chance that the Tabloids next week were going to be all rap stars in one place, dumbasses kill each other. Like, he's like, that's what it was about to be. He goes, and then Snoop Dogg grabs the microphone, essentially kind of yells at them, but does it in a way that it's like this, like, kind of like, oh, I respect you because you hate me because I hate you kind of respect thing going on with what he does, and then it kind of diffuses the entire situation. Really cool to think about, considering the next 5 minutes of the documentary, you have to talk about Tupac getting shot and killed and all that stuff. And then you realize that Jimmy Iovine was putting studio execs into a limo to go to a movie premiere, and he was giving them bulletproof vests as they got in the limo. Put this on before we hit the red carpet.
That's probably some good advice.
And these guys are like, I've been doing video. There's one guy who's a video exec, said he's like, I've been going to movie premieres on red carpets for 35 years. Never once had to wear a bulletproof vest onto one until I had to go onto the carpet with these guys from Interscope. Just a ridiculous story.
I know that you are a big Game of Thrones fan. I am not. I'm not one of those where I refuse to watch it or even give it a chance. I did. I did not enjoy it. But
when did you give it a chance?
What's that?
When did you give it a chance?
I gave it a chance when it first came out. I watched like the first couple episodes. I know that you kind of have to power through those, but like this whole kind of like fantasy world of swords and creatures and dragons, I don't care. It looks like Lord of the Rings to me. I really don't care.
Yeah.
The funny thing is that I had so many people today.
It's a bad review on your part.
It wasn't a review. It was supposed to be just my feeling on it.
It's The Godfather, but with sword and stuff.
Okay,
that's
yeah,
what it is.
If I want to watch The Godfather, I'll watch The Godfather.
Everybody's killing each other. Everyone's having sex with each other. It's perfect.
Yeah, I'd rather watch The Godfather with a big bowl of pasta and a nice vino.
Nothing stopping you from doing nothing. Nothing stopping you from passing Vino for Game of Thrones, Matt Berger.
Huh? It doesn't feel. It doesn't feel the same.
Nothing stopping you there.
It doesn't feel the same. If I'm going to watch Game of Thrones, disagree. I feel like I should be eating like a leg of mutton with some thing with a thing of mead.
I will eat pasta and drink wine while I watch anything in the world. There's not a thing in the world where that doesn't feel right.
Anyway, back to the Game of Thrones. Yes, so I had so many people come up to me today and want to talk about Game of Thrones, and I'm like, when have I ever said?
See, look how far
any kind of interest in Game of Thrones. Like I've
so
never
far,
talked about it. I've never
so
tweeted, posted about it.
Out of the zeitgeist, Berger. Come on.
Oh, you know what? I'm proud to not be a Game of Thrones person.
You shouldn't.
Gives
be.
Me character.
You should. No, you're. It's not giving you character. What do you?
You know what? It doesn't make me a sheep.
If someone had walked up to you during the run of the Sopranos, just been like, nah. I don't really like mob movies.
I'd be like, you don't like mob movies.
Would you not also tell them, but you don't like mob movies, I understand that, but you're also missing the greatest television show I've ever seen in my entire life.
Well, I mean, I will tell them that. I'll be like, but I'm not going to look at them like they're out of their minds if they tell me they don't like mob movies.
Well,
you don't like
saying,
mob movies, you don't like mob
people
movies.
People are looking
my
at you like...
My brother-in-law can't stand mob
people
movies.
People are looking at you like, what are you doing? This is one of the greatest shows of all time. People are just giving you that look like if somebody told you they could never watch Sopranos.
I'm standing in line in the cafeteria this morning and this
same
guy
look
walks
you
in.
You would have given people. Come on.
I'm standing in line in the cafeteria this morning and some guy walks in and I know and he goes, looks at me and he smiles real big and he goes, winter is coming. I'm like, I don't care. He goes, oh, you don't watch it? And I'm like, no. He's like, oh, man, I thought you did. And I'm like, why did you think I did?
Because everyone's watching it?
Well, not everyone. I don't. Giamatti doesn't watch
See,
it. I guarantee you Tuna doesn't watch it.
Being a huge, huge Lord of the Rings fan, I thought I was going to like the show a lot more than I did, and I'm not really a big fan.
That's really surprising.
No, it's not that it's bad.
It's more interesting than Lord of the Rings ever was.
It's not that it's bad. It's the fact that everyone like hyped it up to be this like god amongst men of TV shows, and it was.
Well, I mean, you can't go
a soap opera with swords. They didn't even use them.
You can't go out. You can't. Yeah, you can't let people have that effect on it because.
Maybe I need to watch more in the first season because the first season was pretty boring.
I make jokes about hating movies because of that reason, but that's never the actual reason why I can't like movies.
Would you agree?
It's not the reason why I don't like. You can agree that it's overhyped, but that's what.
Would you agree the first season is pretty boring, or am I?
No, the first season may be the most perfectly made piece of television ever.
I'm saying like it's just
of Game of Thrones,
but for action purposes, there's not much action and
perfect.
Battle scenes and anything like that.
No, there's not the big ones that they've done now in later seasons, but it's a lot there. What is in the first season is a lot of smaller one-on-one kind of fights, which in my opinion are actually more fun to watch on the TV show because it's. There's actually, you know, there's a lot of choreography within the fight. As much as I love the battle scenes, I think one of the most overhyped scenes in the entire show is the Blackwater, which is this huge episode.
So it's just a big battle scene.
Yeah, it's a giant battle scene. People lauded it like it was the greatest thing I've ever seen. And I'm just like, honestly, that was fairly convoluted, and it had two good parts. But other than that, a lot of the action was overdone by incredibly dark lighting where you couldn't see a lot of the stuff that was happening. The first season of Game of Thrones is one of the best seasons of television I've ever seen in my entire life. I put it like in pure watchability combined with the technical aspects when you look at direction, writing, things like that. I put it right alongside season 2 of The Sopranos, season 4 of The Wire. I put it right alongside some of the best seasons pure television history. It was
Game 1 of season 1 of Game of Thrones.
Yes, season 2 was, I'd argue season 2 was just as good. But season 1 was perfect. I mean, you got to think about the actors. I mean, they had Sean Bean as in every the main tent, yeah, the guy who played Boromir in Lord of the Rings, he was the tent pole in the first season. They offed him in the penultimate episode, but he was a character. Mark Addy, who played King Robert,
there's some big actors.
Yeah, Mark Addy, who played King Robert's famous for he was playing he was kind of the sidekick to Heath Ledger in The Knight's Tale, that movie. Mark Addy's been in a bunch of different kind of period piece movies, a bunch of different like French war movies and things like that. He's been in a bunch of stuff. The big name actors were all over the place in season 1 when they first came out. And obviously they've got some, you know, they got some big ones now across the last couple seasons. They spread them out. But man, season 1, the first 2 or 3 seasons, I watched them. Obviously, Berger, you're never going to get into it because it's not your style. You, though, being a Lord of the Rings fan, just the amount of blood and fighting and just intrigue on the side.
Try and give it to season.
That's
two.
Another thing, and that's why I think it rivals Sopranos is because you have to watch it and pay attention, and you have to be intelligent to really suss out some of the things that are happening. And
boy,
that's what
Roy.
I liked about the Sopranos.